take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter 13. When you get to Proverbs 13, find verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. The greatest textbook ever written is the Word of God. It's so all-inclusive. It just has something to say about everything. And of course, we found that over and over and over again, it mentions finances and money. Tonight, of course, again, that's our subject during this lesson. Proverbs 13, verse 4. Would you stand with me real quick? I'm going to read these verses to us, starting with verse 4, and we'll conclude at verse number 8. The Bible says this, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of spending money. Our last lesson was on saving. Now we'll talk about spending for a little while. So let me say a word of prayer, and we'll talk about spending money. That's the title, Spending Money. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we talk about this matter of spending our money. You're good to us, Lord. We have increase. We have prosperity. But you give us instruction. You tell us how to live, and a part of how to live is how we both make our money and spend our money and save our money. Now, Holy Spirit of God, take the simple lesson tonight and help it to help your people. Please help us to do the right thing in everything that we do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 13:7, it said, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." Let me say to everyone, somehow we think that being rich means having all sorts of money. And that is what's going to make someone happy. I know a lot of rich people that are not happy. Money does not make happiness. It does not make happiness. You see, you're not made happy by what you have. You're made happy because of what you are. And so, it says here, though, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. So here the Bible tells us that someone, they're making themselves rich, but they really have nothing. They don't have fulfillment. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now, I think that word poor there may have a little to do with one's humility and one's dependency on God. But it's talking about money. There is verse after verse after verse in the Bible about this subject of money. And I'm going to talk to you a little about it tonight in regard to spending. Now, proper spending is crucial if you're going to have financial success. You can make all sorts of money, but you're not going to have anything to show for it if you don't learn how to spend it right. Now, I'll repeat myself. I said something last week, and I want to say it again. You earn your money by spending your life. See, your time is your life. And you give your time in exchange for money. If someone was paying $15 an hour, and I went to work for them, I would say to them, "Here is 60 minutes of my life." And at the conclusion of the 60 minutes of my life, they give me $15. In a way, I just sold them 1 hour of my life. Your paycheck, then, is a result of loss of life. The way you spend your money, then, is the way you're spending your life. And I really wish I could get people to realize that. The way you spend your money is the way you're spending your life. Now, boy, if you were trading moments of life, you realized it, you'd be far more careful, especially if you were at the end of the line. If someone said to you, "Have 24 hours to live," how are you going to spend these hours. You'd say, I am going to be very cautious and I'm going to do it right. Now, see, wasting your money then, it's wasting your life. What we call blowing your money, it's blowing your life. Being foolish with your money then is being foolish with your life. So, I would like you to learn to save your life. I would like for all of us to learn to spend our life wisely. You see, if I could teach you how not to waste your money, then I have saved a certain amount of your life for you. If I could teach you to be thrifty with your money, I'm in essence helping you to be thrifty with your life. You see, once your life is spent, there's no regaining it. There's no recall. So once you've given that life away, or once you've spent that money, or that life, or that hour, you cannot get it back. It's gone forever. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 20 says this, "There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." Now there's a couple things it's talking about there. It's talking about the foolish man and his spending. Now when it says spendeth it up, that means he spent it all. We say they used up all the milk. He spent up all the money. But he's called a foolish man. So God, in essence, is saying, don't spend it all. We would say, set some aside for a rainy day. Now, in our last lesson, we talked about saving. Tonight, we're going to talk about spending. And I'm going to get, and it's, what I'm going to say tonight is going to be general. Some will be a little repetitive of things I've said before, but they're just so associated. And by the way, I happen to believe that you learn through repetition, and hearing it more than once, I think, drives it home. I think if God said something one time in the Bible, it's God's Word. It's powerful. It's strong. It should be listened to. I'll tell you something. If God says something multiple times, He is driving home something that He wants us to learn. Let me first of all talk to us some about some spending guidelines and spending attitudes. I'm going to start at a very obvious point. Number one, don't spend God's tithe and offering. You see, the tithe and offering belongs to the Lord. So when you take off on vacation, if you take off to go on a shopping trip, if you go off on Black Friday, and there's nothing wrong with any of those shopping adventures, I would say this though, you don't spend God's tithe and you don't spend the offering. That belongs to the Lord. So again, this part of the lesson is called spending guidelines and attitudes. Number two, learn the difference between wants and needs. And I know you've heard me say that before, but we all need to truly face ourselves and educate ourselves in the difference between wants and needs. Now, are all your wants bad? No. No, they're not all bad. And if I may, let me qualify something in your thinking. Look, if you pay your bills on time and you're honest and you give your tithe and you give your offering and then you have wants and you want to spoil yourself, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it financially and you're not hurting anyone and you're doing the right thing, spoil yourself. But wait a minute. When you are not doing what you're supposed to do with your money, when you don't tithe, when you don't give your offering, when you're not paying your bills on time, when you're running behind on everything, when you're marring your reputation, and then you decide you're going to spend some money on wants rather than needs, probably you're behaving in an unscriptural fashion because you have obligation. So, I said number one, don't spend God's tithe and offering. Number two, learn the difference between wants and needs. Number three, get a budget and never spend outside your budget. And we're talking about spending. In other words, you set up a plan so you allocate your funds to certain categories and that determines how much you spend. And if people will use a budget, and they'll spend according to their budget. They'll be spending wisely. You say, but I'd never get to do anything fun. Well, why couldn't you have a category in your budget for doing things that are fun? You need for a husband and wife, there needs to be in their budget a place for dates, overnight hotel stays, buying your wife flowers, some things like that. That can be budgeted, but get a budget and never spend outside your budget. Number four, a thing that will help us with our spending is this: record the amount of money you spend. If you'd really like to get your spending under control, if you would just write down everything that you spend, and I mean all the way down to the penny, you will be amazed how many times you were spending money at the gas station, and you were spending money. You had the groceries you needed, but they put the candy bars right by the checkout counter. You know what I mean. Okay? If you would record the money that you're spending, it'll make a difference. I've watched people that were trying to cut down on their caloric intake, their calories. They'll write down everything that they eat. Why? When they write it down, they must face it. They have to look at it. And it helps them to realize what they're doing. I think the same thing is true about your finances. If you write down what you spend, it will help you. Number five, when you go shopping, do not shop to spend. Shop to save. And I'm going to say it again, and for some of you it won't matter, but the sentence is far deeper than what you would give it credit. When you go shopping, do not shop to spend. Shop to save. Sometimes people will go shopping and they've got $300 and they're determined they're going to spend it. I'm spending $300. Let's go make it happen. Be careful shopping just to spend. Shop, get what you need, but you probably ought to always keep an element of saving in the back of your mind. So, I said number five, when you go shopping, do not shop to spend, shop to save. Number six, when shopping, always remember your financial priorities. When you're shopping, always remember your financial priorities. You say, what are my financial priorities? First of all, God's reputation. You represent Christ. And how you handle yourself financially then is the representation of Christ that you're giving to the community. But keep in mind that you need to care for your needs before your wants. Keep in mind that you're to give to the Lord. Keep in mind that you're to pay your bills on time. So when you're shopping, remember your financial priorities. I know some people, they'll go shopping and they want to block out every responsibility in life and go have fun, and they're shopping to spend. And if you do that repetitively, you'll have a mess on your hands financially. Number seven, get on the same page with your spouse regarding your spending. Get on the same page with your spouse regarding your spending. I think husbands and wives are to work together when it comes to both spending and saving. I'm a bit amazed how independent-minded marriages are today. They've got their own jobs, they've got their own money, they've got their own this and own that. I really think if a husband and wife would become a team, let's see, where's that taught? One flesh. Oh, God thought that up. We're to be a team. We're a unit. One of the biggest marital problems when it comes to counseling is finances. They don't see eye to eye. They don't work together. I think you will spend more wisely if a husband and wife will become a part of a team financially. They're a team when it comes to spending. They're a team when it comes to saving. Now, you all may do what you want. Mrs. Owens and I, if there's ever any expenditure out of the norm or any large expenditure, we pray about it, we talk about it, we get on the same page first. We want that. Now, I'm the head of my household. God made me that way. And she would submit to me. But I married her. She's a wise, frugal woman. We work together on it. And I think you'll spend better and save better if you do it together as a team. Number 8, always know your account balances before spending. I know that for some of you saying, why sure, I couldn't tell you how many people have no idea how much they owe their credit card. They have no idea how much is in their checking account. They have no idea how much is in their savings account. They have no idea. But they're out spending. You do understand that sooner or later that's going to get you in trouble. So number 8, always know your account balances before spending. I'm talking about your checking account balance, your savings account balance, your credit card balance, your budget item account balances. You see, if you live by a budget and you've got some what we'll call mad money, some fun money, you might want to know how much you have to spend before you go out so that there is something to control you when you go out, so that a commercial does not control you, so that a color does not control you, or a smell. Just walk by Bath and Body Works. It says to you, come in, smell me, feel me. And I hate to say it, it says to me, taste me, but it tastes terrible. So what happens? Our senses guide us financially. And that's a bad thing to let happen to you. So, know your balances. Then, number 9, plan your purchases in advance. Plan your purchases. And some of you will think this is a little old-fashioned, but some of you, I could help you at the grocery store. Develop a list. Buy what's on the list. Don't look at all the pretty boxes of cereal to see which one you want. Well, you see, if your list is coordinated with your grocery allotment, you'll be okay. You can go buy everything that you needed, that you decided you needed at home. And for some of you, this is how American families used to live, back before they were so deep in debt and so spoiled rotten. So in other words, I recommend if you want help financially, don't randomly shop. Random shopping can get you into trouble. Number 10, avoid impulse and emotional purchases when you're shopping. Avoid impulse and emotional purchases when you're shopping, especially big items. You can drive by a car lot and say, did you see that? Let's wing it around. Let's take another look. Let's get in it. Let's let them start it. Let's drive it. Before long, you'll be in trouble. Watch impulse. Watch emotional purchasing. Number 11, some people are better off shopping alone. Some people are better off shopping alone. I'll tell you why. Peer pressure spending. Two people that go out shopping together, neither one wants to harness themselves. Not in front of the other. That would be embarrassing. That would mean I must limit myself. That would mean that you're more successful than me. That means you have money and I don't. So I better just go ahead and spend to keep up with my comrade. Look, if you can't handle shopping peer pressure, shop alone. Shop alone. Number 12, I tell you what will help you with your spending. Pay in full and pay with cash. Pay in full and pay with cash. It's awful easy to pay a little on something but not pay a lot, but eventually you're going to pay it all. Well, if you do, or if you try to figure out a way to get out from underneath the responsibility later on when you collapse yourself financially and somebody has to assume the responsibility of your poor financial practices by filing bankruptcy and things like that, which you wouldn't have had to do had you controlled yourself in the first place. You okay? So A lot of times paying in full will help you, and then paying with cash. It is so easy to take a credit card out and hand it to them because you don't have to see any money exchange hands. And if you're having financial difficulties, I might recommend that you start just carrying the amount of money that you have to spend in your pocket and don't depend on the plastic. It will help get you under control. Let me move on. Number 13, don't let advertisement and marketing determine if you spend your money. Don't let advertisers and marketers determine how you spend your money. They're very good at what they do. That's why they're worth millions and billions of dollars. They're good at it. See, they should not tell you what you need. You should know what you need. Then you can buy what you need, not what they want you to have. So be careful letting advertisements and marketing determine your spending. Number 14, learn to wait for sales and clearances and discounts and closeouts. Many times things go on sale. Do you know, can I tell you one of the best times to buy Christmas gifts? Right after Christmas. Man, I feel like King Tut right after Christmas. We'll go out and I'm finding all this stuff marked down 70 and 80%. And I'm thinking, wow. Well, I hope these cookies last till next year. But honestly, if you'll wait, you all remember last year we had the big God Bless America, God Save America theme at our youth conference. Do you know that we bought a ton of the decorations a year before, a week after the 4th of July, and got them for about 75% off. So, if you watch for sales, clearances, discounts, and closeouts, you can save yourself money. Number 15, consider all potential expenses related to any item and its purchase. I said, number 15, consider all potential expenses related to an item and its purchase. For instance, if you purchase a car, now you've got the car, and that's good. You have to pay tax on the car. That's additional. You have to get a license plate for the car. That's additional. You have to have the car inspected. That's going to cost more money. You have to get insurance on the car. That's enough to make you want to give the car back. You see, so many times we purchase something, but we forget that there are additional expenses. So you need to figure all the additional expenses in to your budget or to the allotted amount of money. You may have to reduce what you spend on the product because of those few added expenses afterwards. Consider all potential expenses related to an item and its purchase. Number 16, research your purchases. Research your purchases. You could name any item today. Thank the Lord for Google. You could Google it and find a vast difference in the price. Well, you can do that just by going to retail stores here in town. And so, research. Figure out where you get the best deal. Don't just walk in and buy. Now, we live in a fast-paced world, and so we get in a hurry. But if you'll research before purchases, especially your larger purchases, but even with smaller purchases, you'll do yourself a favor. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 14, verse 28. It says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." So what God is recommending is that when you're going to do something, if you're going to pay to build something, that you sit down and figure out how much it's going to cost you to build it. That's knowing how much money I have before I go into the project. Now, that's good spending. Good spending. Now, so the first thing I wanted to say tonight was this. I wanted to give you some spending guidelines and some spending attitudes. The second thing, I want to talk to you about some hurtful attitudes in regard to spending. hurtful attitudes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. It's talking about poverty. When it talks about a slack hand, it's talking about a lazy hand. What's a lazy hand? Well, a lazy hand is one that won't work. By the way, a lazy hand is one that will not apply itself to whatever the task. A lazy hand in finances is someone that does not apply themselves. They're not asserting themselves. They're not working themselves in regard to their finances. So, the second series of statements I'm going to make all fall under this. Hurtful attitudes about spending. There are attitudes that we develop about spending money. And people that have a lot of financial struggles, and I probably ought to say this here, I don't think all financial struggles are because somebody's been bad. There are people that face hardships in life and they come upon them and they didn't necessarily bring it upon them. And I understand that. And you have to understand that. Now, but let's control our finances to the best of our ability. Let's fix what's broken. Let's get it under control. And there are some attitudes that people that mess up financially have. And really what happens is they have perpetual financial problems, and part of it is because of an attitude they develop about their finances. For instance, number one, people say this, well, I'll never be rich, so what does it matter if I don't spend my money right? I'm never going to be rich, so what does it matter if I spend my money foolishly? Well, who said the goal was to be rich? The goal is to be wise. The goal is to glorify God. The goal is to plan well for our futures because that's what God told us to do. But I've heard people say, well, I'll never be rich, so what does it matter if I don't use my little bit of money right? It matters. Right is not determined on how much you have. Right is determined on right. You're to do right, whether it's a little or a lot. Number two, an attitude. People think, well, you have to be a genius to function by budget or to handle your finances successfully. You see, there are people in here, when you hear the word budget, you say, oh, that's beyond me. That's too complicated. If you need, you can come sit down in my office and I'll show you exactly how easy a budget is. It's not a complicated thing. Just a little bit of organization. Many of you already have some training. At home, you probably keep the cold things in the refrigerator. You allocated the cold things to a certain compartment at your home. You probably keep the toiletries in the bathroom. See, you allocated the toiletries to an assigned place at your house. You probably keep the things that you use to wash your clothes in a certain area. What have you done? You allocated the laundry detergent to a certain place. Now all you do is you allocate funds to a certain category of life and you keep them there. See, you already know how to do it. You put fuel for your car in your car. Why? Well, that's the best place for it to go, for it to do what it's supposed to do. That might be what you ought to do with your tithe and your taxes. Put it in the best place so it can do what it's supposed to do. So when people say, you got to be a genius to have a budget. No. Everybody has learned to place things where they go. I'm going to guess right now your right shoe is on your right foot. Why? That's where it goes. I'm going to guess that you probably have two socks on. Why? It's just a good idea. You know where those socks go. You put them where they belong. And that's all budgeting is. It's putting the finances where they belong and then sticking to it. Okay, so, but don't develop the attitude, well, you got to be a genius to function by budget. No, you don't. Number three, here's what people say. I've never been able to save or be financially successful before. Why start now? And there are people that think that way. I've never been able to get it together. I probably won't be able to now. Now, there's a lack of faith in that. And there is also an accepting of failure. And Christians are not supposed to think that way. If you have never been able to get it together financially, let's get started now. I think you can do it. I think with God's help you can do it. But be careful, there are attitudes that when we're dropping the ball financially that we develop. Things like, I'll never be rich, so who cares? I gotta be a genius to have a budget. No, you don't. I've never been successful before. Why start now? Number four. People say, well, I would never seek help with my finances. It would be too embarrassing. I'd never go see the pastor and let him help me with my finances. I'd be too embarrassed. Well, let me tell you a couple things. First of all, anything that is discussed in my office is very confidential. I would never embarrass you and I would never hurt you. And there are people come and get financial advice all the time. I'll tell you something else. When we step out of my office, I get a thing called pastoral amnesia. I just forget what we talked about. I don't hold it against people. If you think that I stay up all night long every night saying, oh, what she did, oh, what he did, oh, what they did, oh, my goodness, oh, I can't take it, I'll toss and turn. No, I'll be asleep. I don't think about it all the time. It's not because I don't care. It's because I want you to be secure. I want you to know that if you need help, I'll help you. We'll help you get it fixed. Hey, you today, me tomorrow, we all need help from time to time. But there are people who will collapse financially because they're too embarrassed to get help. I've counseled thousands of people in regard to their finances. I might not be a genius, but I can teach you some very down-to-earth practical ways to fix it and get it together. Let's go on. Number five, an attitude. And a hurtful attitude. We say, well, I deserve this item and I'm going to buy it whether it makes good financial sense or not. We have a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. Now, it's not a good thing for me to do financially, but I'm going to have it. Now, I think that's what our children say sometimes about certain things. I think I deserve this and I'm going to have it no matter what it costs me. Now, when I was growing up, it cost me more than one time when I had that attitude. It cost me. I paid the death march, especially if my mom said, go to your room. I thought, oh, brother, please don't come with me. And if it took her a while, that was really scary. That meant she was counting to 10 because she thought she was going to kill someone. She had been taught, you know, if you're really mad, count to 10. I'm thinking, oh, mom, come right away. This is not going to be good. Don't count too much. But listen, we get the idea, I deserve it, I'm going to have it, no matter what it costs me. And let me tell you something, your flesh will tell you that about a lot of things. I want it, I'm going to have it. Some of you that have grown up in a Christian home all your life, and you felt like you had to sacrifice because your mom and dad wanted you to be moral and clean. They didn't let you do certain things. You better be careful when you grow up. Is this what you'll say? I want it and I'm going to have it. I'm doing this. I don't care what it costs me. Some of you that have been married a long time and you've been moral, don't mess that up because your flesh says, I want it and I'm going to have it. I don't care what it costs me. Well, that'll mess you up financially, that attitude. Let me go on. Another attitude. I'll fix my financial problems later. I'll fix it later. Next time. Well, you understand there's a big long word. It's called procrastination. It means putting off till tomorrow what you should have done today. There are people in here, you've had financial issues for a long time, but you just keep putting it off. You just keep putting it off, and you keep putting it off. Every time you put it off, you get deeper and deeper into problems. Another attitude, a hurtful attitude. My finances are so bad, spending a little more unwisely will not make a difference. Now, that's what got you into this. My mess is so bad, what's it going to matter if we go a little deeper? Well, number one, it ought to matter to you because you're a Christian and God's reputation is on the line. It ought to matter to you that you're going to need to dig yourself out of the mess. But you are making it worse. It's not a good idea to make things worse. Let me go on. Number eight. I've already overspent this morning, so a little more this afternoon or this evening won't make a difference. I've already overspent. So to overspend some more, what's the big deal? Other than the fact that it was wrong. Do you know one of the big keys to finances? It's called self-control. It's when you tell you the right thing to do, then you make yourself do it. And so you know, if you don't, the bank may make you. You know, they can make you. They can take your stuff away. They can take your car. They can take your house. So if you won't make you, somebody else may. And that's not how it ought to be, especially in Christianity. Okay, let's go on. Number nine, an attitude that'll get you in trouble. My mate wastes money, so why shouldn't I? My husband says, my wife wastes money and I have the right to waste my share. Or my wife wastes money, the husband says, I have a right to waste my share. You know, somebody's got to have some common sense somewhere. And if our children are playing in the backyard and you come out and say, well, why did you hit her? Well, she hit me. You say, that's not how this is supposed to work. But it's funny how grown-ups can act the same way. It's not necessarily about the same subject, but she wastes money, I'll waste money. He wastes money, I'll waste money. He won't save, I won't save. She won't save, I won't save. Somebody needs to grow up and become the parent. And somebody needs to grow up and become the adult and become responsible. But let me go on. Number 10. I do not want my children to do without. I do not want my children to do without. I don't want your children to do without either. But you have to understand there's a difference in wants and needs. And I think it's important that our children also learn financial responsibility. Have you ever heard the old term you know what it means to spoil a child? Handing everything to children is not such a good idea. They need to learn responsibility. But I know people who they say, I don't want my kids to do without, but the parents are messing themselves up financially and in a terrible way. I'd be very, very careful with that. Let me give you another, then we're going to change to kind of another little category here. Number 11, a hurtful attitude financially. Everybody else is doing it, why shouldn't I? And you can look around America. America seems to think it's if everybody else is going to be deep in debt and spend money outrageously, well, if everybody else can, why can't I? But that's not how Christians think. It's not how we're supposed to think. Now, let me go on. Let me give you a third topic, and I'll race through this as quickly as I can. The third is this, reasons why we spend our money unwisely. Why do we spend unwisely? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here the Bible talks about many, many sorrows, and it has to do with money and the love of money and coveting and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, why? What are some reasons why we might spend and spend unwisely? Well, first of all, number one, we think that being in debt and running behind financially is normal. We think that being in debt and running behind financially is normal. You say, why would anybody think that? Because everybody there around is that way. And so they just think it's normal. Matter of fact, if you found somebody that was paid cash for everything and owned everything, you'd think, whoa, good night. where they robbed the bank. I'm not sure they did. They're the normal one. You all realize that, right? You understand what financial freedom is? That's when somebody doesn't own you. Who owns you? Who owns your car? Who owns your house? Think about it. So, we think that being in debt and running behind financially, it's the norm. Well, I think that it is the norm in our society. Have you noticed the other norms in our society? We think those are bad. Number two, reasons why we spend our money unwisely. Number two, I think we depend on credit far too much. We are just a credit-prone society. Credit's not bad, but your faith is to be in God, not in your credit card or the bank. So just be careful. Credit is far too important to our society. If you don't believe me, you might want to check to see who owns a major part of America. There are other countries that have bought into us very big because we borrow credit to bail ourselves out. America used to be the strongest, and maybe probably still is the strongest country in the world financially, but we're not as strong as what we used to be. There are other countries. You get to watching stock markets and you listen to everybody talk. There's some people overseas that own a big chunk of our value. We depend too much on credit. Number three, we buy things following our emotions or impulse. It's one of the reasons why we have financial problems. I think that there is a lot of sense. You get a car and you want to trade your car because you want to keep its value up and you don't want to keep it till it's worth nothing. But I will tell you this. People used to drive cars for a long time and they didn't get rid of them just because they had to have a new car smell. I mean, you look back at your grandparents and great-grandparents, you used to say, well, they're ever going to get rid of that car. And he said, yeah, the old buggy, she keeps on the going. Yeah. People today with their adult toys trade them like kids used to trade their baseball cards. Number four, why do we spend and have unwise usage of our money? Well, we are unorganized financially, and we don't follow budgets. I'll tell you something. If you came to see me financially and you said, oh, this is just so chaotic, I've just got so many messes, I'd say to you, okay, gather up all your bills, everything. Just bring it all in. Throw it in a grocery bag. Bring it all in. Let's organize it. The average person is just disorganized financially. They don't know the balance of their checkbook. They don't know how much money they owe. They don't know what kind of interest rates they're paying. They don't know what kind of penalties they're paying. They've just let it become unorganized. So unorganized people are usually people that are spending in an unorganized fashion. Number five. I think we spend foolishly because we don't respect the use of pennies and small denominations of money. Just learn to respect the spending of a little. You know, people that will respect a little spending are going to do far better when it comes to spending a lot. Number six, I think we spend foolishly because we do not have an established savings program. A lot of times people that spend foolishly, they do not have an intent to save. I think if you start a way to save, it will help you when you spend. Knowing, look, when you're putting money away to save and you're over here spending, that savings keeps waving at you. Hey, I'm over here. Remember, you just spent what you were supposed to save. So I think a savings program hovers over us. Hey, a savings program will help you to feel guilty when you're misspending. But if you don't have a savings program, there's nothing to make you feel guilty because you don't have that to check on you. I have to hurry. Number seven. I think sometimes we spend unwisely because we want to do the popular thing, which is spend. Almost like people want to say that they spend. I spent money. I spent a lot of money. I spent money. And we like bragging about it. Now, if you've listened, all we've talked about is spending. Good attitudes about spending, bad attitudes about spending, why we would misspend. But if you earn it, it's going to come in. You could make lots of money, but if you don't learn how to spend it right, it won't mean anything. You'll say, listen to the verse, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. What do you do? Well, common sense says, he got it. It's all gone because of how he spent it. So, and then it says, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. I've watched people with character that make little, that have big savings, and people that make a lot, that have little character, that have little savings. And the difference is that middle word, character. Character. God can take a little and turn it into a lot if you'll do right. And so, spending money, that's a part of the whole financial setup.